Before her to display a powerful thigh, flaunt an embroidered coat, or an enamelled snuff box. They dropped roses, plums, and poems at her doorstep. She smiled, enticed, laughed, dismissed. She dressed to amuse herself and to dazzle the court. She dressed for power and admiration. She certainly didn't dress to enchant men. She took that for granted. But the whole process of making her toilette felt different tonight. She wanted all the passion and energy her husband devoted to the House of Lords, to the fate of England. She wanted him to look at her with the same hunger that he showed for a new bill in Parliament. She wanted Elijah at her feet. She wanted what she probably couldn't have. No wife had that. Brigitte, her femme de chambre, popped into the room with a fistful of visiting cards.
"All your beaux below, requesting to assist you in your toilette," she said. "Lord Corbin, of course, and Viscount St. Albans, the Lacroix and Lord Piddleton."
Gemma wrinkled her nose. "I don't believe I shall admit anyone this evening."
"You shall dress alone, Your Grace."
The look on Brigitte's face was almost comical.
"I am never alone," Gemma pointed out. "I have your assistance as well as that of Mariette and Lucinda. A woman with three maids, each with such decided opinions, can hardly bemoan her lack of guidance."
Brigitte's eyes narrowed, just for a second.
"Indeed, Your Grace. Perhaps you plan a special toilette for the fete this evening. Shall I inform the gentlemen that you decline their counsel?"
But Gemma had already changed her mind, based on that little flash in Brigitte's eyes. Brigitte knew that the Duke would be going directly to the King's fete. Servants talked. Servants knew. Gemma suspected that the house knew of her embarrassing, humiliating infatuation with her husband. In the last month or so, she had taken to sitting in the library with a chessboard before her, waiting for Elijah to return from the House of Lords. She had started reading all the papers, with particular attention to accounts of the Duke of Beaumont's speeches. She was a dunce. She should behave as if there was nothing untoward about the evening. Her husband had been in the country for 2 weeks. That meant nothing to her. A fashionable wife would never even note the absence or presence of something as insignificant as a husband.
"It's just that I have a headache," she said, with precisely the right note of lament. "And Corbin and Delacroix can be so trivial. If only V.A. were here."
Suspicion vanished from her maid's eyes.
"He would soothe your head, Your Grace. And he,"
Brigitte dimpled,
"is far from trivial."
Despite herself, Gemma smiled. "But V.A. would never lower himself to join a woman at her dressing. For one thing, I suspect that it takes him longer to dress than it takes me. I suppose I must needs admit Corbin, at least. How do I appear?" Gemma was wearing a honey-pale corset, adorned with daring bows of sheer black ribbon. Brigitte darted about, pulling a lock of hair over her shoulder so it emphasized her white skin, dusting a touch of powder onto her nose. Her hair, of course, was already built into a formidable pile of curls, though it awaited ornamentation and powder. One of her three French maids, Mariette, was a genius in that area, and had spent 2 hours earlier that afternoon constructing a style fit for a royal occasion. Gemma looked at herself again in the glass over her dressing table. To her mind, nothing suited her quite as much as dishabille. To be with her face painted, but her hair unpowdered, her legs showing through the frail lawn of her chemise. If only Elijah visited her at this time in the afternoon. But he never did. Only strangers, or at best acquaintances, thronged below in the drawing room, begging for permission to help her place a patch or choose a gown. Presumably husbands were uninterested in seeing their wives dress. Their secrets were all known, and the thrill of the unfamiliar was lost. Though, considering that she and Elijah hadn't seen each other under intimate circumstances for 9 years, one might imagine he felt a tinge of curiosity. The last time they had slept together, she had been a gauche and, comparatively speaking, flat-chested.